The OTB Podcast Network with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
What's your take on whether or not the GAA Championships should progress at this point?
Yeah, I just think it's incredibly hard to make these decisions, Ger. Like, the pressure that must be on NFIT and the government must be absolutely unbelievable. I, for one, would hate to be, you know, on those committees and trying to make those decisions, because no matter what way you make it, there's risks involved. If you don't, if you stop the inter-county going ahead, like I know, say, down in the hurling field in Tullerone there during the week, met our former chairman, absolutely loved the league games on there, the weekend, the under-21 matches on television. You know, these guys, they look forward to it all week. Next week, can't wait to read the papers this week. Looking forward to the championships. You have Clare and Limerick on Sunday, the big one. Can't wait to see the Sunday game that night, watch it on television. I know another friend of mine, his father will be in his 70s. He's been waiting since the club finished. He's been waiting the last 3 or 4 weeks for these matches. This is what these guys have to look forward to. So on one side, you know, you have that side of it, where you're looking after the mental health of people, and you're risking, I suppose, the disease, you know, maybe going into different counties. And the other side of it then is, if you don't stop it, you're looking at the mental health, the risk involved in depression and mental health of a community, and probably even from, you know, the age of 60 up, even more importantly, because, you know, they're probably around the house, not as involved in with maybe kids and families all day, and they're probably the one thing they're looking forward to at the weekend. So there's risks involved both sides of the chair. I just wouldn't like to be making those decisions. And listen, the decision is made now, and we'll have to row in behind it and try and make make it work and try and stick to the guidelines. And, you know, keep it as positive as we can.
I think that's one of the reasons why we put Professor Mary Horgan on there. She is an expert in this. She does understand exactly what it's like to work in the emergency departments and see the surge and the difficulties that patients are having there in intensive care. And so hearing her come out of that environment and say to us, actually, elite sport or sport, outdoor sport, can continue. Now, maybe other sports levels should have been allowed to continue in level five as well. It seems like we've moved on a lot from March, for example, when the school closed and everybody was at home and everybody was a bit grimmed out about it. This time around, schools are going to continue. It looks like underage training will be allowed to continue. So mini leagues will go on around the country, assuming that the volunteers and the clubs are happy to do so. In that environment, it's a different environment from the whole country being fully shut down with the lockdown that we had the first time round. There'll be a sense of normality around. I think that if everybody just lets a couple of days pass and calm down, then the notion of matches happening won't seem so alien. It won't seem so outrageous that there'll be matches going on when, by the weekend, things change very quickly, as we've learned across this, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say here, Tommy.
They have, Gerard. I didn't realise the mini leagues were allowed to stay going. We both stopped hours there, but we must look into that, see are they allowed to stay going, and I start them up again. But no, looking at it, it definitely has changed. I suppose from March, we were trying to, you know, it was so new to us. I'd imagine we're trying to get rid of the virus, and we didn't know what was ahead of us. It was probably trying to bring it back to zero, but as we've learned, you know, that's probably next near impossible. So it's now learning to live with COVID until we find that vaccine. So it's trying to, you know, there's risks involved no matter what decisions you make. So it's trying to get on with it as best you can. And it seems like that sport, I know things have changed since the summer, but the sport during the summer, for a person like myself who's involved directly in it, and myself, and then looking at the kids involved as well on the coaching side of things, I thought it was brilliant. It was brilliant for parents because they had a focus, going off training 2 or 3 times a week with their kids, get out of the house. You had the players themselves, like, you can't beat exercise, just getting up a sweat. You feel good coming back into the house, getting a shower. All those sort of feelings, that they are brilliant. And definitely I felt sport, whether it was soccer, whether it was hurling, whether it was Gaelic football, hockey, it didn't matter. Once you're getting out into the fresh air, doing things with your teammates, and I suppose, you know, pumping up a sweat, really, you just feel good coming home. And I thought it was massive for us during the summer. We're now in a different scenario, I suppose. in that we're coming into the winter months, we can't all partake in it because it seems to be just the inter-county at the moment. So what is going to give us going forward, I suppose, it's hope. Like last year when we were involved, still hurling, we were playing matches every 2 weeks. We had no winter. And that's because you finish one match, you're getting ready for training Tuesday night, you know you have a match in 2 weeks, you weren't thinking about, is it October, is it November, is it December? And I think that's what we're hoping for out of this inter-county championships, the Munster Championship is starting this weekend. We're all looking forward to Clare and Limerick. You know, there's a few injuries involved on both sides of things, but we're all looking forward to that and see how they get on. Straight away the following week then we'll have the likes of Kilkenny and Galway and the rest of the teams will be out. So it's just going to give probably people focus that you're not going into work of a Monday morning, or you know, there's 9 people out of work at the moment. There's not people at home wondering what am I going to do for the next few weeks. There's some sort of focus, there's some sort of hope that there's something on the following weekend, and I think that's probably the main reason that they're going ahead at the moment.
I think the other thing too, Tommy, is that it's not just the GAA that's going ahead, horse racing, greyhound racing. And the argument on the other side of this is professional sports, like so League of Ireland's going to go ahead and rugby's going to go ahead. Ireland's soccer internationals are going to go ahead in November as well. The counter argument is that the amateur sports are going to be going out and continuing while the rest of the country is in lockdown, and that there's an exceptional circumstance being made for the GAA. And I can see that argument too. I guess the thing here is that anybody who's very strongly on one side, like the right answers probably will emerge with hindsight, but we don't live in a hindsight world. We actually have to make decisions for now. My concern would be if we cancel all the inter-county matches now, that circumstances to get them back, there's no guarantee that they're ever going to really change that much. There's going to be a level of infection for a long time into the future. Are we saying that we're never going to be able to have inter-county games again? Is that kind of the decision that's being made, or that people want the GAA to make this week? That seems unfair too.
My own opinion would be that I don't think people are even looking that far ahead. I think there's enough going on at the moment that they're not really looking that far ahead. I think it is short term at the moment, as in let's get over this winter. Things have changed so much, and like there's only recently enough, we said if we got to 100 cases a week that we'd be in trouble, we'd have to go back down through the lockdowns. Now we're over the 1,000, and that wasn't so long ago. So I think it all is so short term. Like Ger, if we had say 2 people on this show at the moment, and one of them was pro inter-county, right? I'd say we'd all win behind them, and they'd make unbelievable argument for the GAA to go ahead. On the other side, if you had someone that was anti-DGA going ahead and was coming out with all these reasons and a great argument why they shouldn't be going ahead, I'd say both sides, we'd row in behind both people. That's the difficulty that we're facing right now. And we're there, and people are making those decisions for us, and we're rowing in behind them. But imagine, you only have to put yourselves in the shoes of the people making those decisions. All the amount of different things and the different things that can go wrong, the different risks involved in both decisions, it's absolutely incredible. And I'm sure, Neffin and the government, they've looked at all sides of it. There's no easy way out. And that's the decision that is made. So I think the only thing we can do is not look back, as you said, hindsight. Forget about hindsight. Let's look forward. Right, the decision is made to go ahead with it. What can we all do to make sure that this goes off as smoothly as possible? Because that's all we can do. We're living in, the whole world is going through this, the whole of Europe, the UK, the North, the South of Ireland. This isn't just a single case in one part of the world. It's everywhere. So you just have to do the best you can, and that's all you can do.
Would you want to play this weekend, for example, Tommy, if you were still a Kilkenny hurler?
I play all the time. Everyone has different decisions to make, but I suppose my mother and father, they once they be happy, I suppose that's what you're worried about is the people close to you that you're going to be in contact with, maybe that bit older than you, so your mum and dad are always the first people that you're worried about. So once they be happy with it, I'd be happy with it, I'd say, I think that the stats are out there, that once you're in once you're outside and you're playing the games, like I'm not sure how many COVID-19 cases have come directly from participating on. Like we saw in the cool camps last year, like we kind of had these decisions to make before the cool camps last year, if you can remember. I know there was very few cases in Ireland at the time, but I think, was it only one case came out of it? Because it was just outdoor, there was no indoor, it was all outdoor, just playing away. And I'm not sure how many COVID-19 cases are directly coming out of the club action this year, you know, out on the field. I suppose the worry is what's going to happen off the field, you know?
Yeah, and that's been the thing that they say has been the most dangerous facet of it. And the cool camps, as you say, it was marvellous, actually, how that managed to happen during the summer. But I think just to go back to your point there about you could have two people in a room on different sides of the fence and they could both make very reasonable arguments. That could be represented in a dressing room as well, Tommy. And it definitely seems from everybody we've spoken to, I accept that it's a small sample size, but the inter-county players we've spoken to over the last little while, they all seem very accepting of the fact that if they had a teammate who didn't want to play, they would expect that opinion, respect that opinion, and they would respect that player's decision to not play this winter. Do you think that's fair enough?
I do, and I thought Pat Spillane made a great argument like on the Sunday game, Sunday night. Like, in fairness to Pat, like he's very knowledgeable, he's very forthright in his views, and as far as what I could read and hear about him, like he was very much in favour of going back playing sport and getting outside and that. But on Sunday night, I thought he made great and valid points regarding like every person, every team is different. You don't know who is an elderly parent. You don't know who's living with someone with an underlying condition. You don't know what player works in the front line. Everybody has worries and everybody has, I suppose, different lives to live. So I think it's very important for the managements and the coaches of the various inter-county teams that they kind of put out that confidence in the group that, listen, guys, if there's somebody worried about maybe something at home or something in work, come to us. You know, you don't have to come out in front of the whole dressing room. You can a quick phone call or come to me before training or after training, just a quick word on the side to say, listen, I'm a bit worried and you don't know what to do. And I think if the management are strong enough and the county boards are strong enough to have that conversation with their players, well, then I think a player, although it's still going to be a tough decision to walk away, it's going to be his decision. And they have to make him feel confident that it's not going to affect him in any way. He's not walking away from anybody. He's not walking away from his county. He's probably braver than anyone else, you know, on the team at the moment. That he's stepping up and saying he has these worries and he'd like to step away. So I think it's important that the management probably give that confidence to their team that if they have a worry that they can come forward.
Would you have any concern about teammates putting pressure on each other? That's it's ultimately peer pressure is going to decide, I suppose. You know, you can have a strong manager and a strong player, but if the strong player's teammates are saying, actually, you know, you're leaving us in the lurch here, would that be a dynamic at play in some dressing rooms?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so, Gerard. Like, I know probably maybe it might be difficult for a player in a dressing room where they have a great, you know, they mightn't have won much. You know, they're not winning All-Irelands every year, and possibly this year they have a great chance. Possibly it might be hard for that player himself to say, listen, am I going to, you know, let these guys down? We've been training since last January. Like, we see all the inter-county players, they've been doing these, you know, 5k runs, 10k runs, 100 meter sprints. They're watching their diets, which is very much, you know, I wouldn't say it's easy, but it isn't too bad when you have a game on every couple of weeks. But they've been doing this since, we'll say, February, when they didn't know if there would be a championship. Sure, they didn't know till yesterday if there was going to be a championship. Their whole lives have been, you know, geared towards this championship. You know, I know you had the club in between, but they're still minding themselves that extra bit. And so I think it's more the pressure probably you'll put on yourself that you want to let the lads down. You know, we have a chance of winning maybe an Ulster, a Leinster, a Connacht or whatever this year, or an All-Ireland. But I think definitely the players won't, because, listen, every player knows at this stage how serious this COVID-19 is. Like, it's a terrible pandemic altogether. And, like, you know, everybody's at risk, young and old. We've seen the stats. So I don't think any pressure will... It's not like peer pressure where you know, young lads in school or that. I think this is just a decision that maybe the pressure will be the pressure you put on yourself and maybe letting down your teammates as opposed to them putting pressure on you.
Yeah, no, I think that's dead right. There was one last thing I wanted to ask you about was the way the season has ended up working out. If we do get an inter-county season, and it does go ahead now, the way that the season has been flipped this year with the club first and the inter-county second, we've been talking about this for years, Tommy, about how, you know, the situation needs to be fixed, something radical needs to happen. Unfortunately, it took, as we say, a global pandemic to make the change. But having lived through that this summer, what was your take on the whole thing?
Yeah, I enjoyed it anyway, Ger. It was very intense now from a club point of view. So you'd be hoping, I suppose, if the split season does come in, say if it started in July or August, that you'd have maybe 2 or 3 months before that of playing your, you know, your Burn Cup games or your, you know, the kind of secondary and third competitions, challenge matches against teams maybe from outside the county and that. So it's a bit more relaxed and, you know, you're learning about your team. Whereas this one was just helter skelter. It was intense week after week after week. And it probably did broaden my mind in regards, you know, the way players love, we love games week after week. You know, you love all these games. But it's tough going when it's your championship games week after week, because generally you'll find there won't be that much change in the team where there's a big loss or that. So there's probably only 18 or 19 or maybe 20 players getting game time for those number of weeks. So I'd love the split season, but while the county's going on then maybe for 2 or 3 months, you'd have your secondary competitions going on, a bit more relaxed where everyone's getting games and, you know, you can go out and try out a few things. But I definitely think the split season, listen to what the county players are saying, listen to what the club players are saying, I think it has definitely worked. And we enjoy it. See, what you have, Jerry, is you know when you're playing and you have full turnouts at training. Now, I know the pandemic probably helped in that way in that regards. There was nobody gone overseas, you know, to the US, and there was no one gone off on holidays, and there was no one probably living, probably working up in Dublin at the time. But yeah, no, I definitely think I enjoyed it anyway, Jerry, yeah.
I'll give you the exact wording here from the government website about the matches. Government.ie, training and matches. No training or matches should take place with the following exceptions. Non-contact training can continue for school-aged children outdoors in pods of 15. So that was what I was saying about the mini-leagues can go on.
So the leagues, are you telling me the leagues aren't going to go ahead, so is it?
So mini-leagues where we're from is the under 10 in inter-club, just in the club itself. So you can't play other clubs.
Yeah, but I wonder, can you play inter-club, I wonder?
As in...
Let's look into that.
Two, I mean, no matches can take place. So, you know, you can have a training session with...
No, there's no point in having a training session if you know a match, Ger.
Non-contact matches.
No, that's not going to work around here. I don't like doing it myself, so I'm not going to put the kids through it.
That's fair enough. What teams are you training at the moment?
I'm not training any teams, but we've the under sevens, we'll say during the summer, that's all finished now. But we play little leagues, you know, between say the, what age would they be? They'd be probably between 8 and 12, 13. So as you said, it's the leagues within your own club, but the young lads love them.
Yeah, it's kind of street leagues. That's what we used to play, street leagues.
That's what it is, exactly, street leagues. But they love them, they absolutely love them. And we had to call them off there, obviously, when a few weeks ago when the thing started rising again. But, you know, every time, because I'm at home now working away, so I collect Pippet every day in school at 2 o'clock, and the young lads are the league starting back, or they're starting back. But I thought today I'd be able to give the good news, but no.
Not quite.
We'll have to leave it for another while.
My happiest memories of playing as a kid are actually the street leagues, because there was proper intense rivalry between... we were on the Dublin Road and we had a brilliant team, it turned out, versus other parts of the town. It was like, they're literally the happiest memories I have of playing club football.
Yeah, brothers versus brothers, and you have one mother shouting for one, you'll let the father shouting for the other. It can create wars too. I did that when you say it. I have one memory of the street leagues when we were, or class leagues, or whatever you call them back then. And we got to the semi-final. There only was 4 teams, but I suppose it was probably seeded. So we're in the semi-final, but one of the main players in the other team was suspended for the semi-final because he cursed during class. So we are the half favourites going to win the semi final. And then the day before, it was on Saturday or Saturday morning leagues. And the Friday, anyway, the player from the other team went up. He went up to the teacher and said sorry. So the teacher let him play the following day in the bet. So that's my memory, terrible memory of the three leagues.
It's like the prodigal son coming back and they're killing the fatted calf. God damn that prodigal son. Like, so listen, Tommy, to wrap it up, if Neffet say it's okay to play, that's the main thing. They're the ones who are advising on public health. And if they're saying that it's okay for the intercounty game to go ahead, we should try and get the games away.
Yeah, exactly, Ger. And what I would ruin behind that and say is that I wouldn't say, listen, this is their call and they made it, so let's do it. I'd say the decisions they have to make are incredible. They're so tough. Like, would you make it? Would I make it? Would your friends make it? Would your mum and dad make it? They're incredible tough decisions with risks either side. So listen, the decision is made now. Listen, there's no right or wrong way of doing it, but it's made now. And I think we should just ruin behind it and try our best to work with the guidelines and make sure that it is a success, you know.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.